What a most interesting time we live in today. Rather than standing behind the pulpit this morning, I'm sitting in my chair in my house, looking at my computer and talking to you through it. But it's a strange, difficult time. Many people are afraid. What do you fear? Might be lots of things. You know, they say we're really born with only two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And all the other fears are learned or acquired. We learn at an early age to be afraid of many things. Heard of one little boy who was terrified of the dark. His mother said, "Honey, don't be afraid. We're right next door. And remember, God is with you in your room." The boy reluctantly tiptoed back into his room and slowly cracked open the door, and he whispered, "God, if you're in here, don't you dare move or you'll scare me to death." When we reach adulthood, our fears become more sophisticated. We're afraid of not having money, of declining health, and dozens of other phobias. And among whatever fears you may have today, I suspect the fear of this coronavirus is high on your list. Will I catch it? If I catch it, can I survive it? And even if I don't catch it, the world seems crazy at the moment. My job's in limbo. I can't find a loaf of bread or a pound of ground beef. And shucks, I can't even find a roll of toilet paper or hand soap. I'm afraid, especially of the unknown future. Jesus commands us, over in the book of John in chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Isaiah records over in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in the first verse, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they may not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God does not want us to be afraid, to allow our fears to motivate us to inaction or wrong action. Rather than becoming slaves to fear, he desires that we learn to focus on his promises and to be with us through those scary times like these. This morning, I want to share with you a great biblical example of God's presence in the life of a great man who had every reason to be afraid, but he focused instead upon the promises of God and he overcame his fear. And his name was Joshua. And his story is found in the 5th and the 6th chapters of the book of Joshua. You see, Joshua had reasons to be afraid. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord came to him and said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." Three times in the first chapter, God commanded Joshua to be strong and to be very courageous. Look, verses 6, verse 7, verse 9. God knew Joshua would need lots of encouragement because he had plenty of reasons to be afraid. First reason was he was following a great legend. Joshua was following Moses, and Moses had led the people of Israel for 40 years. An entire generation of Israelites had died in the wilderness with him at the lead. The present group had known no other leader than Moses, and Moses had rescued them from Egypt. He had crossed the Red Sea. He had brought them the Ten Commandments. Moses had been their judge. Moses had been their spiritual leader. Moses had walked and talked with God. The people be willing to follow Joshua as they had followed Moses. I'm sure the pressure people put on Joshua to be as great a leader was as impressive at times as you can imagine. But there's a second reason that Joshua would be afraid. He had witnessed a previous failure. Remember, 40 years earlier, the Israelites had been in the same situation, and instead of being strong and courageous, they got cold feet. When they should have been focusing upon the faithfulness of God's promises, they focused instead upon the size of the enemy. And Joshua had been there. Remember, he was only one of the two men who believed in the power of God and trusted the Lord to give them victory. And as a result, Joshua and his faithful friend Caleb were the only two from his generation that God allowed to live long enough to enter the promised land. Would this younger generation get cold feet like their parents had? We say sometimes experience can be a detriment. We know the dangers that lie ahead. That's why young people are often bolder than we are, because we have experienced life's successes and their failures. And we tend to be cynical, predicting that they will be humbler after they failed a few times. Ignorance is bliss, we say. Joshua is not ignorant. He knew the people were capable of backing out on him at the last minute, especially after they saw the size of their formidable enemy. But there's a third reason that Joshua was probably afraid. And that was, he knew the enemy forces were intimidating. You remember, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that had actually witnessed what their enemies were really like. They came back, though, and they focused upon the wonders of the land that would someday be theirs. But in the back of their minds, they knew that the other 10 spies were right. These cities were well fortified, and the people were like giants. And Joshua could be sure that the things had not changed much in 40 years. There's a fourth reason that Joshua was probably greatly afraid. And that is that he had not performed the miracles that Moses had performed. In the past, whenever they encountered difficulty, it had been that rod that Moses carried that displayed all that miraculous powers. God worked through Moses, and would God work through Joshua as well? What if they came to the River Jordan and the rod didn't work? Did he have faith in God like Moses did? Did God truly have confidence in him as the chosen leader, like God had with Moses? There's a fifth thing that would have caused a great fear in Joshua, and that is they had little battle experience. Oh, they'd been through a few little skirmishes with the enemy clans in the desert, but the Israelites were not battle-hardened. They'd be fighting against Canaanites who were experienced warriors, and there would be casualties. People would die, most certainly. And Joshua would have to face the mothers and the wives of those who died in battle. Someone said, experience is a tough teacher. It gives the test first and the lesson afterwards. Would the Israelite armies have to go to the school of hard knocks before they were victorious? You see, there were lots of reasons that Joshua should have been or could have been afraid. But instead, he focused upon God's promises in times of fear. Maybe that's why God had to repeat 3 times that challenge to Joshua to be strong and be courageous, because God knew Joshua faced these temptations to be weak and cowardly. But he didn't just command Joshua to be courageous. He gave him a great promise. Look in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. He says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God has issued every believer the same promise, that he will always be with us, even in difficult times. And he gives us the same challenge to be strong and courageous. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 41, verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not easy to take someone at his word. Promises can be broken. We all know that. That's why we have contracts and we have courts and we have penal system to bring people to justice. We want some reassurance that God will keep his promise God has never broken a promise and will never break one, because it's impossible for God to lie. He hasn't given us a signed contract because his word is proof enough. But God graciously gives us reassurances, as he did Joshua, that he will keep his promises. God sent Joshua reassurance of his presence from a very unlikely source, the testimony of someone that you would never have imagined. It was a Canaanite prostitute whose name was Rahab. After providing a hiding place for the spies that were sent to Jericho, risking her own life in the process, she said to them, and it's found in Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. It says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Rahab said, your terror is fallen upon us. Joshua was reassured and encouraged. God was reassuring him when he said in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's for all of us. Rahab made the spies promise to spare her life and the lives of her family members in exchange for her hiding them. And they agreed to do so. And later, when the city of Jericho was destroyed, the spies remembered Rahab and saved her family as they had promised. There's a second way in which Joshua was encouraged and reassured. Go back to Joshua chapter 3, verse 6. It says, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. I'm sure it was a confidence boost when Joshua said to the priest, walk out into the water, and they did. They followed him. They not only supported Joshua, but they themselves led the people through the Jordan River and into the battle against Jericho. It took courage for those priests to walk into the Jordan River at flood stage carrying the Ark of the Covenant. But those righteous men were being led by God to do what Joshua had commanded. You remember when the Apostle Paul was thrown into jail for preaching the gospel? Well, he knew that his persecution was for a reason, and that it would result in others overcoming their fear. He wrote in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Thousands of Christians have been inspired to be more faithful, outspoken, and courageous because of the example of others, of godly leaders, of you. In the Old Testament, Joshua stood firm against the intimidating enemy forces. David faced a giant. Daniel refused to be intimidated by the lion's den. In the New Testament, Jesus and many of the apostles courageously faced suffering and death out of obedience to God. The 11th chapter of Hebrews records the stories of many of those biblical heroes who faced their fears with courage and faithfulness. There's a third way in which Joshua was reassured of the promises of God. And that was through some very unexplainable circumstances. Look, beginning in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 3. It says, and as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah and the Salt Sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Joshua knew that the moment that the priest's feet touched the Jordan River, that God was truly with him. When we're willing to step out into the deep, God sometimes does miraculous, unexplainable things through us to assure us of his presence. In my many years, I've seen innumerable examples of unexplainable circumstances, which can only be credited to the presence of God. Such events reassure me, reassure us, and strengthen our faith in times of fear. Walk out of here this morning with these words in your heart. In Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you're fearful this morning of this coronavirus, of the deteriorating economy, of where and when you will find your groceries this week, just remember that if you believe God's promises are true, you have no reason to fear. Have faith in God's promises and not in your own power. Conquer your fears with God's help. He has promised to be with you always. Remember his reassuring words to you. Be strong, courageous, for the Lord our God is with you. May God watch over you, bless you, and keep you. Stay well, my friends. We'll be back in the Lord's house as this resides. God bless you.